HHI had a big role in developing this tool. A little bit in, by way of introduction, there's a formative evaluation of the ACI CA tool. It's in draft form right now. It's been piloted in two different versions. It's a tool for assessing improvement in the six components related to cancer screening and follow-up, which we'll touch on a little bit later. And again, the focus of this initiative was essentially organizational improvement through system change. I guess by way of introduction, we should say that the ACICCA tool, the predecessor is the Assessment of Chronic Illness Care tool, the ACIC tool, developed by Ed Wagner and a bunch of other folks out there. And again, it helps care improvement teams, folks in the clinic, looking at their delivery processes, focus on the adoption of evidence-based cancer, evidence-based care changes, while focusing at the systems level. And that's really one of the keys. It's based on the six areas of system change suggested by the chronic care model developed by Ed Wagner et al. Organization of healthcare is one. Self-management support is another. These might sound familiar. Delivery system design, decision support, clinical information systems, and community linkages. There were two main focuses in this formative evaluation. Are the components of the chronic care model, and the more specifically the subcomponents, organized in a manner adapted from the ACIC and the chronic care model, adapted to cancer prevention and screening in ways that are appropriate, meaningful, and useful? The second question that we really were after was between the two versions, as I mentioned, two versions have been piloted and drafted in the Health Disparities Collaborative. You know, did one work better? That's really what we wanted to know. I guess a brief word about the two versions. The first version of the ACIC-CA tool disaggregated the three cancers, and so essentially teams were performing three separate assessments of their colorectal cancer screening, their breast cancer screening, and their cervical cancer screening methods. The second tool was a more global approach where that combined all three cancers and just looked for sort of a global assessment of their cancer screening methodologies. The ACICA tool, some more about it. Again, it's the ACIC tool, but adapted for cancer screening and follow-up. They're under, let's say, establishing community linkages or clinical information systems. What works really well, what's using the ACIC tool for managing diabetes or hypertension, depression, some of the models that we're more familiar with. This one had to make a couple of changes under those components, and they were really developed consulting the ACIC tool, checking the evidence, seeing what worked for the ACIC tool in chronic illness, and saying, well, how can we apply that to cancer prevention and screening? The biggest, I guess, I'm not sure what the word is for it, but I guess the biggest intention of the designers of this tool had was really to encourage the care improvement teams in community health centers and at the primary care level to really sit down and start discussing with a systems view their processes for screening cancer. This was one of the more interesting perspectives that involves this tool is how chronic illness and its management relates to cancer prevention. In chronic illness, there is a disease state that's extant. With cancer prevention, there isn't a disease state. So how did we decide to adapt the chronic illness model to the screening model when there isn't a disease state present? And the relationship, like we noted, generally lies in a common approach to the management of service delivery. Chronic care and prevention through screening, you know, mammography, colonoscopy, etc. They both approach prevention and chronic disease by minimizing the progression of disease through regular, timely, and comprehensive management and intervention. And those two ways, chronic illness and cancer screening, really are very similar. Cancer screening, you know, mammographies have to be done once every 1 to 2 years. Colonoscopies, depending on which screening modality you use, there are some set times. There's also follow-up, you know, that needs to have any abnormal result. The patient needs to be notified, and those results need to be acted on. The screening follow-up, you know, like I said, minimize the progression of cancer by at least detecting it at its earliest stage, hopefully, and following up with appropriate treatment in a timely manner. The ACIC framework uses the components of the chronic care model in such a way that the designers who I mentioned found it a useful template for achieving cancer screening follow-up goals. Actually, achieving cancer screening follow-up goals, namely improvement goals participated in phase one and actually advanced phase two of the ACI-CCA pilot testing. We're calling them sites. A brief note, some sites were one large clinic serving a population catchment area. Other sites were sort of primary sites that also had networks of clinical health centers underneath them. So there were nine of those that participated in this evaluation. Two teams also served to pilot the process for this evaluation. The nine teams were selected based on performance. The four highest performing teams based on their cancer screening rates data that's submitted to HRSA, and the five lowest performing teams. The evaluators, of course, were blinded to the performance. We created five proxy variables to basically ask them, you know, is this tool, as it's been adapted from chronic illness care to cancer screening, is it appropriate? Is it meaningful? Can you use it? That's really the key. We created these process measures, which we'll talk about. Data is collected through direct observation of teams filling out the tool, interviews with the individual team members, which were transcribed and analyzed for qualitative themes, and, of course, focus groups. And then the analysis was conducted using the Vivo software. Okay, so the first proxy measure was the process of completion. We wanted to know, how do you go about using this tool when it comes time for, time to do it? What are your approaches? The first was what we call sort of the collective approach, and the collective approach was basically they said, we're going to do this assessment, they convene the team, and they go through it. The more distributed approach was where, let's say, a team would get the tool and they decide it was time for an assessment, and they would distribute it to the individual team members or to key clinicians within the network of health centers. The first approach was interesting because they really used it as a forum for discussion. As we mentioned before, the real goal of the designers is really to foster discussion at a systems level about how to improve cancer screening rates. The teams that used the first method really described it as, after the discussion, when everybody had waved in, they really felt they had a good snapshot of the state of their cancer screening programs and processes within each clinic. In comparison, as far as the process of completion goes, the second approach, where they distributed the assessment to have individuals within the clinics fill it out, created an interesting a mosaic assessment where an individual said, well, you know, in my department, these things are going well, these things could be done better. And then also including, you know, well, in my department, things are going well, but in the other department, hey, you know. And so we were able to make up a picture of the process of the cancer screening processes based in that sort of pointillist approach. The important thing was that both approaches led to a progression from assessment to really the creation of improvement or a plan to-do list. So both were generally effective. In terms of the ease of completion, you know, we want this to be easy. The majority found that it was fairly straightforward and quite easy. A quarter of the team members perceived the tool as difficult to complete. The real hang-up here was based on the six chronic care model domains and some of the adaptations. Some of the definitions of the subcomponents weren't terribly clear in the scoring algorithm. I'm not sure how many people are familiar with the ACIC. The scoring algorithm, at least in terms of the ACIC-CA tool, is rather subjective. And again, there's also some organizational difficulties. Naturally, we heard, you know, hey, this is just one more thing that we have to do. We don't have enough staff time to do what we do anyway. So time, of course, is an issue, and we're looking to pilot a tool that does the best. Comprehension, the main lesson here was that the teams reported greater ease and greater comprehension of the tool the longer they've been associated with the Health Disparities Collaborative, and that really translated into how much training they had gotten saying, this is what this component means, this is what this subcomponent means. The teams using the open forum discussion approach, or the collective approach, also noted that their comprehension was easier. If some members of the team didn't quite understand or couldn't define something, someone else in the clinic could say, oh, I'm familiar with it, that's what this means. Also, having the open forum for discussion, people could come to consensus about certain definitions. The scoring, again, we noticed, it's fairly subjective. Teams felt that it didn't necessarily, they were making arbitrary decisions, and it wasn't necessarily a linear progression of improvement. The most important, and possibly the most serious, issue was that two teams found that when they completed their scoring, they went back and checked the data against the score that they had assessed themselves, and the data did not reflect their score. One was higher, one was lower. So there's definitely concern when your assessment score doesn't correlate to the data that well. So we're looking into that component applicability. Basically, we asked, hey, as we've the adaptations that we've made from the ACIC tool to the ACIC-CA tool, how did that work? You know, is it relevant? Does it apply to your screening follow-up? The answers were generally positive there. Self-management support and organization of healthcare were not deemed as relevant. I need to go into that, but basically they were saying, for example, in self-management support, hey, we do this all the time. You know, this doesn't necessarily have to be part of the model. And that really touches to, there is a debate within cancer screening about how self-management really applies in cancer screening when it's not, let's say, in diabetes, it's meeting points of care over time, you know, in empowering the individual to take care of themselves. There's some argument about what self-management means in cancer screening because it's really, will you get screened or not? And there's a question of whether other issues fit into that. In a quick comparison, version 1, the one that disaggregated the three different cancers, colon, breast, and cervical, was by far the favorite. They said that the version that aggregated everything left out too much. There's too many particulars to each cancer screening, and individual assessments, they said, was more accurate, easier to work on, move forward with. So in conclusion, the things we're going to be really working on is reconciling the scoring algorithm with a linear progression that reflects screening improvement, provide a clearer definition of the tool components and the subcomponents, that's actually the biggest one, and providing specific examples of improvements or measures illustrating scores and component definitions. And lastly, in parallel to the rollout of the ACICA tool, like we noted, the amount of exposure to the tool, the amount of training they've had in the Health Disparities Collaborative, and how they perceive the definitions of the subcomponents was really one of the biggest blocks. So we're developing a simulated clinical environment called Cancer Space, Simulating Practice and Collaborative Education. That's actually a virtual environment that lets healthcare workers get into this environment and rehearse different cancer screening improvement strategies from the systems level using the ACIC tool. Thanks a lot.
Wonderful presentations, and let me go ahead and open the floor up to additional questions. If anyone have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Based on the data that we got during the evaluation, reconciling the scoring algorithm, like we said, is one of our big priorities. As it's related now, you have six components that are divided into 10 points, and it's supposed to be sort of linear. You know, if, let's say, your clinical information systems, if your clinic, let's say, doesn't have a patient registry, it doesn't have a way to put screening reminders on charts, things like that. These clinics would rate themselves down to as CIS infrastructure not really there, usually not done on a paper basis, done on individual patient-to-patient basis, that sort of thing. And it runs up through, you know, yeah, we have a comprehensive CIS system infrastructure that supports our cancer screening practices. So let's just say, well, let's take the example that, okay, you have a comprehensive CIS infrastructure that generates reminders, you know, notifies patients, automatically channels follow-up to them after any results and that sort of thing. Just within that box, they can give themselves an 8, 9, or a 10, and there's no real guidance in there for them to say, well, you know, if we actually had this system running or this system interfacing with our EHR system, something like that, that's a 10. You know, so we don't have any actual examples. So one of the things we heard was it's very hard to score ourselves when it's subjective, and given the subjective nature of it, the folks in the clinics really said, you know, if we score a 1, we want to know the steps that we have to take to move up to a 10, and that's what we mean by linear. As far as providing a clearer definition of tool components and subcomponents, here's one example of clarification. under, let's say, I don't know, delivery system design and components, talking about scheduling for underserved and or uninsured and underinsured folks who are usually underserved, time off from work, getting to screening, transportation to get to, let's say, a screening suite for mammography or colonoscopy or something like that. One of the components down low says, doesn't do this. And so it's very broad, and people said, well, what do you mean we don't do this? You know, we have this system. How does our system fit into this? What is doesn't do this? Or sometimes on the other end of, real high screening rates, they'll say, well, here's, they're just very overbroad. And so we need to tighten up the definitions and hopefully give them some specific examples that say, okay, when you generate reminders by using a registry, these are the sort of things that you would see happen. Do you do something like this? So we really want to improve the definition of those components. And, and that's basically the third point, taking them both together, providing examples saying, a 5 in this component sort of looks like this. And we've tried different methodologies of trying to illustrate that. And so lastly, in order to do that, we've come up with a parallel tool, this Cancer Space, that hopefully will give users the experience using the ACIC model in a virtual, simulated environment where they can see concrete examples. They can walk through a clinic and interact with other clinic workers, rehearsing various scenarios, making decisions, checking the evidence based on those decisions. And that, hopefully, will clarify the subcomponents, clarify the definitions, and create a more linear scoring algorithm for the tool.
Any other questions? Yes, sir. Programs that were in the school.
Sure. The question was, is Cancer Space going to be a replacement for the learning sessions following some of the faculty changes and organizational changes over at Ursa? Great question. we're not sure. The Cancer Space started with that faculty in those planning sessions in place. Dr. Calvo sort of moved over. Dr. Taplin's actually become an acting chief elsewhere at DCCPS. I can't remember the exact group. So there are some real changes. And I know the only thing I can tell you as far as the Health Disparities Collaborative itself goes is that it's not, we know that they're undergoing changes. And they've been working with us on Cancer Space as well. So we don't really see them as mutually exclusive. We're still working with faculty in the Health Disparities Collaborative, Pantorari, Juana Montalvo, Lauren Wiley, some of those folks, because this was modeled and meant for those clinical health centers. So it was really meant to be in parallel. We are designing so that it can stand alone. Hopefully it won't, because that person to person and sort of the hierarchy of the sort of meetings and convening to talk about is really helpful. But you never know the way things are going to go, so Cancer Space is designed that if that doesn't happen, hopefully it can stand alone, provide the ACIC training, as well as it's really based to create an online format for the collaborative curriculum. And of course, the curriculum is still being developed.
Any other questions? I actually have a question for Mr. Estelle. I was curious, as you were going out and through the community taking pictures, if you were ever confronted by anyone and asked why you were taking pictures.
We drove around in a car just for that reason. But individuals did look at us, and you could see they had a quizzical look on their face, wondering why we were there, why we were taking pictures. We tried not to take pictures with people in the pictures. As a matter of fact, we wanted to show that we were trying to take pictures of them, but actually of the buildings and of their surroundings. That was something that we were mindful of. Yes, there was a proliferation of liquor stores. The liquor store was every corner.
I had asked if he was counting liquor stores. Yes. And it sounds like the two of you need to get together with the working with some of the local producers. Because I'm also interested in how the how we get the produce to the grocery stores that in our poorer communities, because first of all, we've got nothing but stop and robs, basically, in the poor communities. We don't have the large grocery store chains in, and when there are the larger grocery store chains, studies show that the produce is typically of poorer quality and there's much less availability. And so I was wondering if within the YUSA program, if any of your collaborators were able to address that issue.
When you were talking, I was actually thinking more about reach than I was thinking about the PHCs. Pioneer and Healthy Communities do focus on the amount of stores or opportunities to have access to fruits and vegetables. Again, they're looking also for creating mechanisms for that type of access for affordable foods. And again, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania was an example with a Good Apples program of trying to reduce the price of fresh produce and create new venues for access. And again, they're using churches, they're using community-based organizations like the YMCA, so that there are entities that are a part of the community that are sustainable, that can create that access. But thinking about reach, which I also highlighted during this presentation, we have several projects that have focused on access, and I'm thinking in particular our Bronx Health Reach Project, which we're looking at bodegas and looking at how to create access through bodegas, and just the definition of fresh produce, actually more like onions and potatoes, than looking at berries or tomatoes. And again, it goes to the issue of many of these products don't have long shelf life. And if you ever buy a pint of blueberries, they're $6. So what are you going to do? Buy a pint of blueberries for $6 or get the Happy Meal, which is $3.99. And so again, we're fighting the socialization of diabetes and obesity and cardiovascular disease. And I'm hoping that many of the lessons that we have from REACH 2010 will carry over to our new funding cycle for REACH US, and we'll be able to share more of those. But again, I gave you the REACH website. Many of our lessons learned from these projects are on there, and we're going to have a report from Bronx REACH on the website by January.
I just wanted to add one more thing about access to healthy foods. One of the barriers for low-income groups having access to healthy foods, well, fresh produce like vegetables and fruits, is the inconsistent access to electricity. Many of them are unable to pay their electrical bills on a regular basis, and usually it's cut off. So they try not to buy perishable goods. They tend to buy more canned foods and preserved foods. So that's another barrier to the healthy food aspect.
I just kind of reflect on that, which goes back to a comment I made earlier, which is cooking skills. There's this thought that people know how to cook beans. And then the cultural impact as well of location, preparation, and passing those skills from generation to generation. And then also, cooking beans can also be high fat. So again, trying to create the cultural aspect of still cooking heart healthy.
Well, we are out of time, so I want to thank our speakers. Wonderful job.